Well, hi there. Welcome to your next lesson of this sprint. Today, we're going to talk about how you can plan an engaging and meaningful professional development session. You know, this is going to be so important for you as you move ahead in your journey as an arts integration specialist. One of the biggest things that you'll do in that role is to deliver PD. And I'm so excited that you'll have your first chance to do that with this sprint project. Here's what we're going to cover today. The real purpose of professional development, how to use adult learning theory to your advantage, and the keys to an engaging PD session. All right, now let's get right down to it. Professional development provides the tools for our teachers, administrators, staff, and parents to be active participants in changing how students learn. It is the key that unlocks the potential for each one of us to be outstanding at what we do. And in arts integration, it is the essential ingredient for a successful program. Professional development is the direct and purposeful act of engaging in any event which causes you to learn. Now, because arts integration is an initiative that requires teachers to use arts methodology and skill as a vehicle to teaching the content areas, teachers need to have access, time, and support to discovering and learning these skills themselves. Teachers also need to have a strong understanding of the process, which is why it's beneficial in what it looks like in practice and how to do it themselves. There are a variety of highly efficient and effective professional development models that can be used for introducing, expanding, or extending your arts integration program. The following is a list of ways which are widely practiced with high levels of success. Most likely, you'll use the brain-based learning methods in your upcoming project and save the others for your in-school or in-district PD. But I want you to have a good understanding of each so that you're prepared as a professional no matter what kind of PD that you're asked to provide. Brain-based learning is based on the premise of teaching the way that the brain functions. The basic idea here is that the brain is a parallel processor capable of doing multiple things at the same time. Each unique brain has common ways of using this processor by creating meaning, learning through patterns, and that learning is enhanced through challenge. So, what does this mean for professional development? In order to truly engage your participants in active learning, you'll need to teach the content through ways that create meaning for them. This can include using commonly seen images, using technology that is familiar in new ways, like taking polls through texting, or using Prezi.com instead of PowerPoint, or using Twitter.com as a professional discussion tool, or through vignettes. People learn best when they are forced to participate in a situation that is realistic to a problem that they would run into in daily life. By setting up a vignette of a lesson plan, you can provide them with a safe place to test out their ideas. So, for example, when teaching your staff how to use Tableau in their classroom, you may consider having them actually create a Tableau of a familiar topic. By being placed in a situation that requires them to be the teacher and the student, the brain is highly engaged and making critical connections. Now, make sure that when you design your professional development activities using brain-based learning principles, you try a few of these kinds of techniques. Again, don't worry about doing them all, but just have these in your mindset. Creating rich, stimulating environments. So use various colors or textures when presenting material, but keep it consistent because you don't want to be distracting. Create time for discussions or questions. If through an online presentation, ask them to pause the video and write down their ideas or their thoughts. You've seen me do that quite a bit. Allow time and space for movement. This is a great way to work in a small technique example for a dance integrated lesson. If you're doing this online, model what you want them to do on the screen and then give them a chance to do it in their own homes or classrooms. If you don't want to model, then give them small, specific instructions for how to move in the activity. We often do this with brain breaks during our online conferences. Change your displays and music during the session. Small changes make the brain become more attentive, and by changing these often, the brain is working at a higher state of conscious awareness. Now, we're going to talk about professional learning communities. Professional learning communities are small groups that are dedicated to studying one particular area in regards to education during the school year or during another designated time period, like maybe summer. Now, this isn't going to be necessarily possible for your sprint project in this program because, after all, PLCs take place over long periods of time. But I do want you to know about them, as they can be very beneficial to how you create PD opportunities in your actual school or district. PLCs can be grade level teams, but can also consist of a variety of members from the staff. Their purpose is to have in-depth study, research, and discussion about a professional topic, reflect upon its use in the school, and what its potential impact on student achievement might be. They meet regularly, usually weekly or bi-weekly, but this can vary. They have a set goal or purpose, and they're able to submit a product of some sort that demonstrates their learning or meeting their goal. These were very popular about a decade ago, and they're making a comeback to a certain degree. A professional learning community works very well as a way to both begin an arts integration program and also as a way to sustain an arts integration program. By starting with a small PLC selected from teacher leaders within your school, as well as anyone else who wants to learn more about arts integration, you provide the opportunity for rich conversation, convergent and divergent thinking, a community of trust, and the ability to experiment with the program. This is a low-risk option for implementing the program, so many administrators like this method best. Because if arts integration doesn't take off, then there's little harm done in the way of image control. Meanwhile, teachers have the benefits of planning collaboratively and cooperatively during lessons and being able to take time to observe other schools using arts integration, because substitutes would only be required for a few teachers in the building, not the entire staff. A PLC can also then serve as a steering committee for implementing the arts integration program school-wide, because they had the chance to study it with so much depth in the first year. PLCs are also a wonderful way to sustain the arts integration initiative as it continues year after year. As you know, each year, new staff members arrive, and veteran staff members who haven't had the chance to study arts integration in depth then get an opportunity to do so. This allows you to keep the whole school on the same page, using the same vocabulary, understanding the vision, and learning new techniques. Each year, the PLC can choose a new strand or focus within the arts integration model to study and explore, allowing the program to grow from within itself. Eventually, you'll have some former PLC members coming back to this PLC at some point to learn some new skills or techniques within the program as it has grown. I would highly recommend that your school include other PLC strands other than just arts integration. PLCs are a wonderful way to build community between and across grade and departmental level teams because teachers from all over the school can join any PLC. It gives them a choice rather than making them feel like they have to do it. In addition, schools tend to have more than one focus for school improvement. So by offering multiple PLCs, your school members will feel like they have a choice in their own professional development, and the people that are in the Arts Integration PLC will be there because they want to be there, rather than because they feel like they have to be there. Remember, this mindset shift makes a huge difference in the buy-in and implementation of Arts Integration in your school or in your district. Now let's talk about whole school professional development. Whole school professional development is a good option for doing large-scale arts integration work. So, for instance, when you want to celebrate the accomplishments of the Arts Integration PLC or share some teacher-created lesson plans, a whole school professional development meeting would be the way to go. Also, when you want to teach or extend some basic arts integration classroom techniques, it can be very beneficial to have a whole school professional development meeting to share these topics so that everybody hears the same thing. You can break into small groups during that meeting and use brain-based learning strategies during the whole school meeting, but by having everyone come together, the whole school can scaffold their learning at the same time. So it saves you time and gets everybody on the same page. Whole school professional development can be like chutes and ladders. By holding these meetings, you can increase teacher knowledge, skills, and synthesis leaps ahead within a short period of time if done properly. So by this, I mean that you could utilize adult learning theory, people coming together to share productive and positive ideas that they already have been working on in small groups, and are consciously using brain-friendly techniques like think, pair, share, movement, connecting to popular culture, technology, and more. This requires a lot of preparation, but the benefits are outstanding. Teachers will walk away with a lot of knowledge and excitement and will want to try it out on their own. But if you're not careful, these meetings can also cause the program to fall down the chute a couple of levels. By simply standing up and showing a PowerPoint, teachers are going to disengage and begin to be resentful for giving up their time. Also, if there's no background knowledge on the topic, you've not addressed their other needs, and therefore the presentation has no meaning to them. Finally, while it's wonderful that teachers can walk away with things to implement right away, they haven't built collegial relationships and trust with their peers to support their newfound skills and excitement. And without these foundational relationships, people will not have the support system that they need to sustain their enthusiasm. So overall, whole school professional development has its place and can be a fantastic way to build school awareness and motivation for arts integration. Just don't rely on this method for all or even most of your professional development. Let's talk about mentoring and coaching. Having some mentors and coaches in place throughout the building is also a great way to provide quick and efficient professional development to your teachers. Sometimes it's just not convenient or realistic to wait for a meeting to discuss some ideas or a lesson plan, or to get some answers to an important question. Mentors and coaches provide an intermediary that can answer questions about arts integration methodology and curricular connections, be a support person for people when they're nervous about trying a lesson, or even be the person who can help people sort out and find their own synthesis and reflection of the program. They can guide teachers through a typical scenario and be a type of reference QuickBook for your teachers on a daily basis. This also saves you from having to be the only resource in the building, which can be very time consuming and ill-advised if you have another position in that school, like if you're a teacher or an administrator. By spreading the wealth, you're spreading the health of arts integration. Now, we're going to be talking much more about mentoring and coaching in our final sprint of this program. But think about your own coach and mentor in this program and what their role has been for you. We're also going to talk about using adult learning theory. Now, in order to truly communicate effectively and for teachers to respond well to your professional development, you must keep in mind adult learning theory and how it's different than how you teach on a daily basis. Many educators think that leading professional development is easy because it's just like teaching, right? But in fact, this is often not the case because educators are trying to teach their peers as though they were students. This can cause resentment, tuning out, and a general attitude of ambivalence toward you and your program. So in order to avoid this, you need to have a basic understanding of adult learning theory and how to harness it to work for you, not against you. Adults are self-directed and they can motivate and learn for themselves. What they need from you is a facilitator to point them in the right direction and then give them the freedom to discover on their own. You also need to recognize that adults have a wealth of experiences and may have worthy things to contribute to the program based on those experiences. Provide a way for them to shine. Adults also need a goal to reach, and that goal needs to be relevant and practical to their lives in some way. So if you can't explain that arts integration is relevant in their classrooms and that the professional development will be provided that to directly address how to use arts integration to impact student learning, you're not gonna get anywhere with them. Make sure that this is one of the first things that you speak to when working with your staff. Also, remember to not overwhelm your staff with everything all at once. Be practical. Put yourself in their shoes. Can they realistically accomplish this, whatever it is that you're asking them to do, in 1 month, 1 quarter, 1 year? Treat these wonderful adults with the respect that they deserve as you work with them, not teach at them toward using arts integration. The nice thing about being teachers is that good teaching is always good teaching. While the adult learner is different than the students in your classroom and must be treated differently, the way in which you teach the content is relatively the same. You need to provide a source of motivation and engagement to capture their interest right from the beginning. You've got to set reasonable expectations and outline them clearly right from the start. Make sure that you're positive but firm when your teachers are working through the process. You always want to remain upbeat and upward spiral a conversation to think about the possibilities rather than the challenges. However, you're also going to need to be firm in that this is a research-based approach and the school will be implementing it. So don't let the program be battered down by a few negative Nancys. Politely address their concerns and then redirect them into thinking about solutions. You'll also need to provide opportunities for retention of your information through practice. Encourage teachers to try a technique or to work with a peer to create a lesson plan. Teachers will only truly learn this information and approach with practice and by reflection of their own practice. Okay, now we have gone over a lot of different ideas, theories, and strategies for professional development. But none of that is going to mean anything if your session isn't engaging. After creating and delivering literally hundreds of PD sessions over the years, I have found a few tips that make for a really positive PD experience. First, cut out the fluff. Almost every PD session I've ever done has been 80% fluff when I first write it out. I always do a fresh draft to get all my thoughts out first, and then I cut about 75% of it. Everything that's not necessary gets tossed. This leaves me with a core 25% to work with and refine down to that final 20% of the real gold. That also means that you want to get straight to the good stuff. Don't fool around with lots of data and background if that's not what your audience needs. Consider why they're there and then deliver what they need to be successful in your focal topic. 3, if you're going to use slides, budget one slide for every minute that you plan to present. So if you have 15 minutes, plan on at least 15 slides. If you have 45 minutes, plan on 45 slides. This keeps you moving. Also, don't put a lot of text on slides. Use high-impact images or videos and then just speak to the slide. You can include notes in the notes area if you want, but I always like to engage with my audience, so I don't read the notes anyway. And yes, you can use bullets, but only 3 to 4 per slide. Finally, keep any slides consistent in design. Don't go overboard and don't use a mix match of fonts and color themes. Pick a theme and stick to it. Any font should be at least 50 points or more for easy readability. 4, use a framework for your presentation. This will help you keep a solid flow going and make the session more impactful. Think of a great novel. There's always a clear plot line, right? The same is true for any PD session. I typically like to start out with a quick 1 minute or less introduction of who I am and what I do, just enough to build a little connection and trust. And then I move right into an activity or a strategy, something that gets people thinking or trying something. One I often use is to write down their definition of creativity, and I give them about 30 seconds to do it. And then I tell them to carve that definition down to a tweetable of 140 characters or less, and I give them 20 seconds to do that. Then I ask them to create a performance of that tweetable definition using any art form. They only get 15 seconds to create it. If we're in person, I have them perform it. If it's online, I share my definition and ask them to tweet out their definition using a hashtag. I'm specifically giving them an activity and a next step when it's over. That activity should in some way be related to my topic for the day or lead me into my core message. For example, in that creativity definition activity, I almost always use that as a segue into a session on what is STEAM. We talk about the idea that the activity gave no right or wrong answers, and that while there was freedom to create, it was with the constraints of time. I use that as a way to lead into the definition of STEAM and how that can be used in the classroom. I then present my core information with some actionable steps, showing pictures when I can, or videos of student work, and then offering a simple framework or process for putting it into practice in their classroom. This kind of session outline always works really well. It has a nice pacing and gives people a chance to become active learners. Definitely steal that process for your own PD because it works. I'm going to share that framework in more detail with you in our next lesson. All right, congratulations on completing this lesson. What an incredible job. Now there is a workbook for you to download today, and I think it's going to be really helpful as you plan out your sprint project. In your workbook, you'll find the engaging PD framework I just shared and some space for you to outline your own PD session for your sprint project. Use this as a way to help you get started and flesh out some of the ideas knocking around in your head. Once you've done that, go on over to that sprint project area, watch that video, and be sure to download the steps you need to create your PD video for this project. I cannot wait to see what you create. Now remember, you're going to need to go select your spot for your session. You need to start thinking about which of those segments you're going to create in the strategies, in the alignments area, in the lessons, in an assessment, or an extension. You need to think about which one of those buckets you're going to be focused on for your PD session in this sprint project, and then use today's workbook to help you flesh out what kind of session you want to design around that content area. All right, I'll see you in our next lesson.